for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday morning, July the 6th, 1992. Family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. James Golden of Belize, Central America, is the speaker of the morning.
Oh, glory to God. It's such a wonderful atmosphere here. And I tell you, it can even be better if you've got an atmosphere of attentiveness about you. Not necessarily attentive to a preacher, but attentive to what the Spirit saith unto the churches. God bless you. You may be seated or remain standing as you like. Oh, it's just so wonderful. Praise God. After being 2 years away from camp meetings like this, back off out in the jungles and the boondocks, and then just getting to come back to an oasis. Wonderful, refreshing oasis. After many miles and hard miles and being in places where different people told us that we were likely to get mowed down by machine guns because we walked into an area where there was drug trafficking and getting somebody out that was involved in some of that, trying to rescue somebody in a case like that. Well, battling principalities, and it's not all of that easy on our flesh. But praise God, it's not our flesh that gets the job done anyhow. Even though it's difficult on the flesh, I said that to kind of give you some idea of how wonderful it is to us to know that there's something like Lake Hamilton Bible Camp where there are people that are dedicated to receiving something from God to bless and refresh God's people in these dark hours that we are living in. If there's anything that's needed in the church world across America, it's just exactly what God is doing right here in this place. Yes. Oh, hallelujah. And I tell you what, I hope that there's none of you go away from here. I don't think there's any one of you going to go away here disappointed at what God is doing and going to do, has been doing and is going to do.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, the other day whenever I was ministering, I spoke concerning God's help in time of adversity, and I think maybe I got about a fourth of the way through with what I would like to say. And today maybe I can continue and maybe get a third of the way through or half of the way through. Oh, it's just so rich and wonderful, a rich, wonderful word of God. Well, as I mentioned the other day about miracles and one of the greatest, if not the greatest, miracles that I have ever seen in all of our 30-some-odd years of missionary work together was when God gave me a woman that would stay with me through some of the hardest places I have ever seen a woman, especially an American woman, go through with and still stay faithful. To me, that is a very wonderful miracle. And you know, even through times of dangers, I have, in missionary work, I have met many missionaries. Sad to say, I have met many that have met horrible shipwreck. I have met them that their marriage wound up on the rocks. And if I were so inclined to, I could just go down the list naming off several that I have known that it happened that way. And it's sad to have to mention things like that. But I'm just so thankful that in all of those very, very hard places, God gave me a woman that wasn't like some of the others, that didn't say, look, if you want to endure this, you can. I'm going to go back where they've got nice brick houses, and I'm going to go hunt me a husband that's got a Cadillac, and it's famous, and it's handsome, and that's got better manners, and that's got better sense than to endure all of this. Really, I must give God all the glory because it's Him that gives grace. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow weary. to added afflictions, he giveth more strength. The Apostle Paul was moaning about his weakness, and he took it to the Lord. The Lord told him, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And in all of our weakness, God's grace has been so much greater. And I wonder if it'd be all right with all of you if I were to ask the sweetest woman I ever met to come and say something to you this morning. Would that be all right with you? Are we going to get a mic? Sister Merlene Golden, God's woman of faith and power.
Is this all right?
God used her to keep me in line. That's a miracle.
There has been a miracle happened in their family in the last couple of weeks. And I think we need to hear about it. Because we're kind of kin, us, with these situations that's problems in our families. And God's done a wonderful thing for us and not for them.
It's a real privilege to be here again this morning. It's a privilege to know Jesus. You know, there's a scripture that says, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forevermore. Last January, we received a call from our daughter, and she told us that she was flying to Belize. Told us the day that she would be there. We went to Belize City to pick her up, and no one come. We tried to get in contact with her. No way we could find her. From January till just a few days ago, we didn't know where she was. We didn't know if she was alive or dead. All we could do was pray. We knew for the last 10 years and over that she had been running from God, that God had a work for her, and she didn't want to yield to him. She wanted to do her own thing, her own way. So God let her do it. And when we called the American Embassy in Guatemala City and reported her missing, they began to hunt her. They found her on a Thursday. They called us Thursday afternoon and told her that they had found her. And the quickest flight we could get out was on Monday. Monday morning, we got up about 5 o'clock, caught an early bus to Belize City, boarded a plane, flew from Belize City to Salvador, from Salvador to Guatemala City. We got to the airport in Guatemala City in the afternoon. We went to some people's house that we would be staying with. And these people were kind of afraid for us to be there because they knew that she was mixed up with some drug dealers, and they had already been threatened to not have anything to do with her, but they opened up their home to us. And we went, before we left Belize, there were several churches got together, and they said, we're going to pray, fast and pray, and cover you while you are in Belize, as we know, while you're in Guatemala, said, we know that you're going to come against different things. We went to Guatemala. We got there Monday afternoon. Tuesday morning, we went to the American Embassy to find out where she was. They took us to the place where she was. They said, we cannot stay and bring you back, but we'll take you there. We went to the place where she was, and the people there said, she's not here, but said, we know where she is. So he took us to where she was, and she was in a bar. We walked to the door of the bar. She looked out the door and saw us. And she told the people, said, there's my mother and daddy. And she walked out the door and fell in our arms and said, please take me out of here. We took her back to the room as quickly as we could. And they warned us, said, you need to get her out of here just as soon as you can. So there was a lot of problems that had to be worked out, and we didn't know how we were going to work these problems out, but God did. Tuesday afternoon, we had to get a picture for our passport. the man that she was with had torn up her passport. We got the picture Wednesday morning. Brother Golden went to the embassy and got her a passport. They usually don't do them that quick, but they did for us. Wednesday afternoon, he had to go to immigration. She had been in Guatemala for 2.5 years without papers, and that's illegal. And they told us that they will probably fine you a lot of money to get her out, or it might even put her in jail. But we went because we knew that we were covered. And Brother Golden walked into the immigration office, and the man looked at him and said, "Well, hello, brother." Says, "I'm a born-again Christian." Said, "I'm filled with the Spirit." Said, "The gifts of the Spirit works in my life." And he began to tell Brother Golden different things that Brother Golden knew that he didn't know. He says, "I cannot break the law, but," said, "I can bend it a little bit." So he took her passport and stamped an exit visa on it, which was a miracle. And Thursday morning, well, the airlines had already closed. We didn't have the currency to pay for a ticket, but Brother Dario Parrish paid for the ticket, and we in turn gave him an American check to pay for our tickets to leave Guatemala. We flew out Thursday morning. We had to get up early to catch a plane. And we had a taxi that had promised to be there to take us to the airport. Well, we got up and looked around, no taxi. And Brother Golden says, "Well, I've got to go find a taxi. And it's dangerous to be walking around that hour in the morning by yourself." So he left the room where we were and went out on the street to see if he could find a taxi. And he said he was at one certain place and said the Lord dealt in his heart, "This is not the place you should be. Go over there." And said he walked over to another place and said there was a taxi. And so he told the taxi, said, "We need somebody to take us to the airport." We got to the airport, checked through immigration. The guy looked at her passport and he didn't see a visa on it. And he had to take it over and ask somebody else. And they told him, said, "Let her go." And we went through immigration and I then got on the plane and she and I flew to Houston, Texas, and into Little Rock, and my brother picked us up in Little Rock. Brother Golden didn't have reservations to fly back to Belize, and he went down and asked him, says, "Can you get me on a flight today to go to Belize?" And they said, "We will try." Well, the first plane was loaded and they put him on another plane and he flew to Salvador. Got there just in time to get off and jump on the plane to Belize. He went to Belize to tie up some things that we had that needed to be done before we come to the state. And a week later, he was here. And we're so thankful. That weekend that we got here, my brother was gone from the home, so we couldn't come out here. We went out to visit my sister and her husband, and we went to church with them on Sunday morning and Sunday night. And the Lord really moved, and Duana came to the altar and really cried out to God. God changed her life, and there's still things in her life that she would like to get rid of, but God is doing it little by little, and we're so thankful how the Lord covers us as we go from place to place, how He moves, how He ministers to us no matter where we go or what we do. Jesus is there with us. The Lord bless you this morning.
Oh, praise God. Give Him glory. Just raise your hand and praise Him. Yes, that's what we need to do more than anything else. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. In Isaiah 59 and 19, it says, "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and His glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." You know, all through the Scriptures, and all through your Christian experience, and all through my Christian experience, it seems like it's part of God's ways to allow opposition to come, and then to show His glory in the face of opposition. We read in the Scripture how God made known his ways unto Moses, but he made known his acts unto the children of Israel.
Yes.
I believe it's 2 Peter it tells us that we are partakers of the divine nature. And sometimes we like to be onlookers. We like to hear of God's ways, and we like to see his acts. We like to watch it being carried out. Oh, I love to watch God use somebody in the gift of miracles.
Oh, yes.
Oh, it's just been so great and thrilling. Been so thrilling. So thrilling. I have seen it so many times, and you have too, no doubt. People that were hopelessly crippled, that could not walk and hadn't walked for some time, just God blessed them, and they just got up and walked by the power of God. It's wonderful to be an onlooker and watch those things happen, you know. I remember God gave one brother the gift of praying for rotten teeth to be healed and filled. And, you know, sometimes whenever you got a talent or you got a gift or you got a ministry and you're trying to sort out whether it's really of God or a false gift or not, well, I sort of thought I had the gift of precaution. And found out that it was the ministry of skepticism, you know. And I don't know. I think really there was a demon of skepticism that I really needed deliverance from. So anyhow, we were invited to watch. Go right up and look in people's mouth, with their mouth wide open, and you know, you go up there and look. That doesn't sound like good manners, but I did. I did. You talk about getting your eyes full of something that's, you know, great and wonderful. I saw a hole in a lady's tooth. And it wasn't an imaginary hole. I wasn't hallucinating, imagining there was a hole there. I saw something begin to form in the bottom of that hole. And I saw it grow bigger and bigger and bigger. And I saw that hole fill completely up. And as the top of a tooth is very uneven, and dentists, when they fill it up with something, they grind it away to fit the contour of the tooth. I watched that material that was in there fill right up to the very contour of the teeth. No dentist could have ground it up any more than that. We're serving a great God. We're serving a supernatural God. We're serving a God that nothing is impossible for him to do. He can not only heal a tooth, he created teeth to begin with. He was the one that made human teeth. He can not only heal a human body, he was the only one that made a human body. He can not only heal a living person that's sick and afflicted or in trouble, he can not only deliver you from demons and bondages, he can take a man that has been dead for 4 days and for 4 nights and a rotten odor coming from that body and can call out to him and say, Lazarus, come forth, and make that body just come up there just alive and well and without any after symptom, without any after effect. That's our God. That's our God. He's a great God. He wants us to trust him for great things. But he also allows great oppositions to come. You see, when I saw that happen to that tooth, I had to repent somewhat of my precaution or my skepticism. I remember one time I was in Minnesota. We visited with a certain Brother Mike, and I heard Brother Mike talk. I heard him express his precaution of so many false things that were going on, you know. And so after I talked with Brother Mike, you see, I haven't been perfect in my speech and in my attitude all down through the years. I've got to admit to you people that I have been beset by a lot of weaknesses, and I have fallen into a lot of different saying, a lot of different things that I shouldn't say. Now, probably none of you here are that way now. You know, won't have to make that confession. But anyhow, I do. And I kind of got involved in, you know, listening to his skepticism. And it kind of got contagious on me. So here was another Brother Mike that I saw him later after talking to the first Mike. Well, then I talked to the second Mike. And so anyhow, he said, Brother, where'd you hear that? Where'd you hear that? And I was telling him this, that. And I got to thinking, I said, you know, There's different callings, there's different talents, there's different gifts, there's different ministries. And I really think this other Mike over here, I believe he has the gift of suspicion, the ministry of gossip, and the talent of skepticism, you know. Well, after I had said that, and we kind of laughed about it, then I kind of got to realizing how serious it is, you know, to get caught up in these things. And I, once again, had to say, Lord, help me.
Yes.
Have mercy on my skepticism and on my being skeptical of skeptical people. I was one time in Ohio, and so we visited a brother we never had visited before with other in a fellowship that this other brother way down in Ohio, he was working with this fellowship. We knew some of the others very well. It was recommended we go by and see the brother. We went by, strangers. And I really believe that that brother, instead of being skeptical, he had justifiable precaution, really. I believe we need a lot of that today. We really need a lot of it. Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you. And so, you know, they asked him, when is these things going to be? What's the sign of thy coming and of the end of the age? You know what he first started out talking to him about them? Was all the deception that would be in the last days. Yeah. Take heed that no man shall deceive you. So anyhow, after this brother, check me out. Well, that's a different question, and I told different things. But then he asked me, do you know this brother? Do you know that brother? Yeah. He's visited with me on the mission field. We went way over into Guatemala and went to different places. So anyhow, he says, brother, would you like to read a book here? I've got to go down here and do this. He went to make some phone calls. You know, a lot of people, they won't do things like that. They are, you know, oh, this looks great. I'll just take it in. So he went and made some phone calls. We had a service. After the service, they kind of in another little room, they had a board meeting. They came out of the board meeting and said, brother, they said, brother, we can't guarantee you for how long, but we've all prayed together and agreed that it's the will of the Lord for us to send you such and such an offering every month. And ever since then, they've been very, very faithful to help out. Well, I'm talking about God's acts. And whenever we tell of some of the things that we see our God do, God does great things that the human mind can't believe or don't want to believe. It's hard to believe. I hear, you know, other missionaries tell about things that they've seen that God did, and you're precautious about, you know. And sometimes there are demons of exaggeration. They're lying demons that says, oh, I've seen this and I've seen that, whenever you really haven't seen. And you want to really doctor up what you've seen, you know, to make it look greater than what it really was. I think the enemy of the gospel would like to take every one of us and, you know, make us get into that sort of thing. And brothers and sisters, even though there are those things that are false, even though there are false prophets and there are lying spirits all around, I want to tell you, where lying spirits abound, the truth of God does much more abound. Where false prophets abound, the true prophets of God do much more abound. In the country that I live in, I could quote many examples of missionaries that have just messed up and their marriage wrecked, and they went off with some other woman and things like that. One particular incident, while one missionary's wife was here in the United States, he got with a native woman down there, had two children by her whenever he was still legally married to one other woman, and then later he got a divorce. And while we're there, people, when we preach the gospel to different people, some people say, well, that guy calls himself a man of God, and I know I'm better than that. Even though I go to bars and I do this and I do drugs, I know I'm not that bad. Well, sure, he knows he's not that bad. But I tell them down there, talk to different people, what are we going to do? We got all these bad examples around. Where bad examples do abound, good examples do much more abound. Oh, hallelujah. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound, the Apostle Paul said. God allows opposition to come our way. He allows adversity to come our way. We read about old Abraham. His adversity was that his wife was sterile. His adversity was that they were way up in old age, where nobody would ever think it would be very likely for any of them, for them to have any children at all. But were that condition of man, God come along. God says, I have made you a father of many nations. It looks so ridiculous to the average person that would hear anything like that. So very unlikely. But God come along. According to his promise, he blessed that little old woman with the privilege of giving birth to a child. After the child come along, God said, go kill him, put him on the altar. Go down there and go and put him up on that altar. And Abraham did exactly that in his heart. In his heart. He surrendered his heart to do that. Willingness to obey God. Believing that God would keep his promise, and through Isaac that he would raise up a seed unto Abraham, that in him would all nations be blessed. God's already told him that in Isaac all nations are going to be blessed. So he was thinking, all right, I'm going to obey God. I'm going to obey him. Even though I kill him, God's going to raise him right back up again. He's going to be the father of many nations. The scripture kind of bears that out. But God didn't have him to literally do that. And so God spared Isaac, sent a ram over there, and God revealed unto Abraham that God would make himself a sacrifice. Instead of Abraham giving a sacrifice of Isaac, God would make himself a sacrifice. Isn't it wonderful to walk with Jesus? Oh, hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful to trust him whenever, not only to overcome our little bitty obstacles that get in our way, but some of the hardest obstacles that you could ever imagine would get in your way. I mentioned yesterday the obstacle of that water that was out there and that mud hole and wondering how God was going to help us get through that mud hole. How many of you were here two mornings ago? Nearly everybody here? Well, I don't have to refresh you very much. God helped us get beyond that obstacle. I mentioned that obstacle of all that horrible place where we went, and you think if there was any place you'd like to build a church and start a work, it'd be a very nice, neat place right by a nice, neat park where everything was so very nice and clean, and you just march right in there and take over and have service. But when it happened to be the very worst place, if you could describe the very worst place you think that you would want to build a church, and God sends you there, and he turns it all into blessing. He gives you victory, not only over all the visible things, but he gives you victory over the obstacles that get in your way of really serving God. You know, I mentioned when we were there in Mexico and I was there by that mud hole and God said, go forward. And I remember many days before that, we were preaching among the Navajo Indians in Arizona. And I remember another time whenever I got very skeptical. And my righteous indignation rose up in me toward a little woman of God that I thought was very presumptuous in asserting herself just a little bit too much. I'd already told them God spoke to us to go to a certain place in Mexico. I cranked the old Ford up to get it ready to go. And it started knocking. It wasn't just a little knock. And in order that you won't get too slumberish, I want to set like if it went bang, 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 bang. Did that perk you up? It was one of those knocks that you know that was something. There was something, not just a little old ordinary rattle. I asked Sister Joseph, I said, Sister Josephine, it looks like I'm going to have this thing overhauled. She said, oh, but let's pray for it. We can pray. God can do anything. But in my bewilderment, my big obstacle really wasn't her. It really wasn't her. It was me. Self. When the enemy comes in like a flood, it's usually not the enemy that's manifested in somebody else. Where is it that the enemy is being manifested? Uh-huh. And I felt... In just a short little while, all of my thoughts, were all jumbled up. And for momentarily, I thought that, I was feeling justifiable indignation. Who does she think she is coming out in a time like this whenever we're faced with all of this difficulty and say, oh, but let's pray for it. Mm-hmm. I sure saw her at fault. I saw her as being somebody that was guilty of self-assertion in the first degree. And I felt like sentencing her to a year of chastisement. I wish God had jerked her tongue out by the roots. I didn't say that. I thought it. You know, one of the prophets in the scripture, I believe it was Habakkuk, he said, I will set myself on the tower and watch. And what did he say he was going to watch? Watch all the bad things my neighbor's doing. On the tower, you up where you can look down and see what's going on. He said, I'm going to sit there and I'm going to watch. Oh, I'm going to watch this neighbor doing this and that neighbor doing that. And I'm going to really get their goat. And that's not what he said. He said, I'm going to set myself on the tower and I'm going to watch and see what I will say when I am reproved of him. When I am, not whenever the deacon or the preacher or the song leader, when I am reproved of him. See, that prophet knew God's ways. He wasn't just only an onlooker of watching God sell a tooth or God work a great miracle and cause a blind person to see and restore part of their body that had been taken away and things like that. But that prophet was there. He knew why God did things. He knew God's ways. He was acquainted with God personally. Not only hearing about him or watching what God can do, but he walked with him knowing God's ways of doing things and seeing things the way God's able to see things. Since he saw things the way God is able to see things, he saw God is a God that loves and rebukes and chastens. Isn't it wonderful that we can say, Father, chasten me. Jesus said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. My flesh doesn't like to get rebuked. My seat doesn't like to get spatted real hard by my Father. But I tell you what, he has done it so many wonderful times. While it was being carried out, I didn't like it very much. Yes, God moves when the enemy comes in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against him. And I thought, well, the enemy is coming in like a flood in that little old woman. And I got to combat all of that, and I got to handle it. But after waiting just a little while, he who knows how to bless and chasten begins speaking to this heart. I didn't hear words. I didn't see lightning. I didn't hear thunder. I didn't feel goosebumps. But I felt a wonderful correction of my Father. The enemy was coming in like a flood and golden. But God said, I will lift up a standard. I felt God lifting up a standard. I felt God humiliating me before that little woman. And I broke. It didn't take very long. God broke my spirit. He's done it lots of times. Lots of times. So I began in the spirit. God began moving on me, letting me know that he is a God that's willing to do greater than that, than what that little woman was saying, let's pray for her. God, Jesus said, if you can say to this mountain, I really think he's talking about a literal mountain, you be removed, be cast into the sea, and it'll obey. And nothing, Jesus said, nothing shall be impossible to you. He said, all things are possible unto him that believeth. So in that little while, I got to searching out everything that was keeping me from believing. The main thing was my wrath and indignation of somebody else that wanted to believe and trust God. You know what I did? I repented. I didn't go through a great big show, a ceremony of getting down on my knees and say, I repent before everybody here and I repent before God, just in my heart. Sometimes it doesn't take very, very long to say, God, I'm sorry for what I did. I regret every bit. I renounce all of my deeds of the past. And now I surrender to you. So, after that little lapse of time, all of those scrambled up, jumbled up thoughts, and God began rebuking, I went. I said, okay, I'm going to go along. I'm going to repent of resentment toward that woman of God. I laid my hands on that old car. And I was thinking, though the world considered me a fool for doing this and praying for an old car that's going bang, 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 knock, 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 knock. I'm going to go ahead and do it. And I'm going to apply my heart to trust God. My doubts raged against my faith. My reluctance to do anything like that raged against my willingness to be wholeheartedly committed unto it. It was really a struggle against unbelief. God said when the enemy will come in like a flood, he comes in with our doubts and our fears and our unbelief. After a while, it sounded to me like that knocking was getting less. After we prayed, we lingered there. After we prayed, it kept knocking just the same as it was, but we lingered there. Then after it seemed like it was getting less, I got to think, well, now that's just my wishful thinking and my imagination. The weapon says over here, you can see that over there. I can't see it from here, but I read it enough out of the scripture before I ever came to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. But, you know, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Sometimes the strongholds is demons that attack other people. But so much of the time, it's the hold that he's got in our mind and in our soul to keep us from being our best for Jesus. Praise God, that's what we're here for. We come to a Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. I praise God for the deliverance that I've got here in this camp that's made me more free to go out and conquer for Jesus.
Amen.
So, after there for a little bit longer, it wasn't any more imagining. That knocking in that automobile got less. That knocking in that automobile dwindled down, and that engine smoothed off and quit its knocking and run just as smooth as you could ever expect an engine to knock. Now, I've told this to different people. He said, well, that was probably something, a rocker arm got just a little bit out of line, you know, and then as it sat there, just vibrated, you know, and got in line. They can explain it every way. My wife's told about how God sent rats and put money in there, and those rats didn't chew the money up, but they chewed everything else up. And some, there was a skeptical lady said, somebody must have sneaked that money in there, you know, when you wasn't looking to make you think that it was something like that. Well, you know, you thank God for precaution. And there's justifiable skepticism. But I praise God for the real life God that is able to undertake and help, to give you help in the present time of trouble. We see how God acted in Abraham. He let opposition rise, and then he came in and showed his glory. We see how that the children of Israel, whenever they were down in Egypt, they were in bondage, hopeless. It looked hopeless and looked like it was impossible. And you see what was humanly impossible, but God raised up deliverance to them. Whenever they got up against the Red Sea, looked impossible for any deliverance. Looked like they were surrounded on every side and no hope. The only thing they could look for was to perish. Did you ever get in the condition it looked like that you were in a situation there was no hope for you, no way out, and the only thing that could happen was you just going to perish? It's happened to me lots of times on the mission field. And I've seen God come along so many times and rescue us out when it looked like we were going to perish. Sometimes I get to looking forward to the next time God's going to put us in that situation so I can see him reveal his glory some more. There they were against the Red Sea. One little guy heard about him. He went to Sunday school. Daddy sent him to Sunday school. And went to Sunday school, come back and said, Daddy said, son, what'd you learn in Sunday school? Oh, I learned about Moses and children of Israel, the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's army. They were surrounded by the Egyptian army. He said, how did it all turn out? He thought a little bit and said, well, Daddy, Moses got on his radio and radioed into the Pentagon, and they sent in some heavy artillery and some tanks and some guns with some laser weapons on them and just blew the Egyptians to smithers. And then he sent in some pontoon boats. He said, now, son, did that really happen that way? He said, I've read a little bit about the Bible myself, although you don't know it. Now, come on, tell me the truth. He said, okay, Daddy. All right, I really stretched the truth. But I thought that if I told you exactly what that Sunday school teacher told us, you wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't believe a word of it. So I had to tell it, so I thought you'd believe it. God does things that sounds unbelievable to us human creatures. So we see how God come on the scene. We see how that the three Hebrew children in the fire furnace, it looked like no hope for them. It looked like that atheism and idolatry had overcome and they had no way out. But God come along when the enemy came in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord lifted up a standard against them. We see Daniel in the lion's den, and we see the Spirit of the Lord lifting up a standard against them. We see the Apostle Paul whenever he was surrounded by an angry mob, and it looked like surely they were going to kill him. Well, God come along and intervened. Many times they laid there with their, machine guns, their bows and their arrows, and going to mow him down, but God made a way for him.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.